I would like to introduce the 22nd head coach at Michigan Tech, Joe Schott.
I am a Youper.
In front there for Lesperance. Back into the front. Here's a shot! Score! Luke Gillies with the goal!
I love UP.
Gould got it going on now. Big time speed coming in. Goes wide. Centers it in front. Schott scores! What a play by Gavin Gould!
And my heart is here.
To the blue line. Held in. The penalty is over. Shoot! Score!
Go Huskies.
This is the Joe Schott Hour on the voice of the Huskies, Mix 93 WKMJ. Brought to you by Morty's Gas Station, Dr. Daniel Reminga of the Northern Foot Care Center in Houghton, the Kaliva Cafe, Kuna Automotive, Coca-Cola of Hancock, Bucko's Party Store, the Wickley Agency, Superior Smiles, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images, Peterlin Distributing, Lake Accounting and America Group Retirement Strategy Centers, and the Turbo Agency. And now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Schott, here is your host, Dirk Hembron.
All right, thank you very much. It is the Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93. Good morning to you, Coach Schott. How you doing?
Good morning. It'd be a lot more enjoyable coming in here after some wins, I'll tell you that.
I know. Tough weekend for the Huskies down at Ferris State University. The Huskies battling the Bulldogs Friday and Saturday night. 4-3 loss on Friday night, 3-1 loss on Saturday night. A lot of ingredients thrown into these two losses for Michigan Tech, and we're going to try to break it all down for you. We've got tons of questions coming in, Coach, and if you have any other questions you'd like to get in, do so now, dj@themix93.com. Correct me if I'm wrong, Coach, your demeanor after Saturday night's game was not as, maybe the depressed is not the word, disappointed. It was not as disappointed as your demeanor after Friday's game. Was I wrong on that?
I'd say that's right. I think on Saturday night's game, it gave us some good direction, which is what you're after. And in all honesty, I was not disappointed. We had a extremely depleted bench. Mm-hmm. You know, we played with 9 forwards, 5 defensemen. We're short basically 4 players, dressed plus the 2 that were sitting out. I think that the guys that played played their hearts out, and I think that there was they got a lot of ice time. Some of those guys haven't played much, and I think have wondered. You know, everybody wants to play. You know, everybody wants to do things. So, it was right out there for, you know, the opportunity was there. There was 4-on-4 situations. There was 5-on-5 and I thought the guys gave what they had in the game. We had, they were able to come out in the third. The players were able to come out in the third and try to get back in it. We made it 3-1. And within a minute had 2 great scoring chances. Joel Esperance walked in on goal. Grayson Reitmeyer walked in on goal. That could have made it 3-2 just like that. One of them right off the faceoff, right back down. So there was good resiliency. I thought that, Packy Munson played pretty well in that game. He made some tight saves. It was, even though, I mean, with 3 goals on 24, shots against, 3 goals and 16 chances against, but I thought that he played, I thought he fought with everything he had as well. So, I felt direction and clear vision on where we need to go, what guys can perform, which guys can't perform, which guys are, and I think the guys, more importantly, I think the guys had a feeling, within themselves of where they're at individually. So, I wasn't disappointed. I thought we laid it out there on Saturday night. With the circumstances.
And on Friday night, do you feel Ferris stole a game from us on Friday night in that 4-3 victory for
Absolutely.
Them?
Absolutely. I think that, I look at the 2 games prior to the Saturday game that they had won. They'd beat us here 4-3. We outchanced them 24-9. 35-9. Mm-hmm. And then they beat us there 4-3 and we outchanced them 25-9. I mean, anybody that saw the game, I was upset with on the Friday night game, and I would say with how easy pucks went in. It was just like for me, it was just I mean, I guess probably a buildup of emotion on things that it just amplified what we've done. Our players have done a lot of great things this year that have not equated into wins. We've done a lot of good things. Our margin of offense, our offensive creativity as far as numbers of chances in a game is up from each of the last 3 years that I was here. It's up.
Right.
And our scoring chances against are down. Even from last year when we were, trying to protect Angus as much as we could, a freshman goaltender in the net, we still gave up more than we're giving up now. We just aren't winning hockey games. When you continue to do that, no matter how much you're trying to focus on the growth of the team. You know, people call it the process. That word gets worn out to me, so I don't want to call it the process, but the growth of the team. There comes a point when you want to start getting some continued reward, some continued feedback, some success. And I think on Friday night it was just, I didn't feel a goal went in from home base. All the goals went in were grade A scoring, were scoring chances, but they weren't, none of them were from home base. There's
which is what you call the area from
the post out to the dots up to the top of the circles and
right,
over. Now,
right.
I guess there's open debate whether the Saturday night goal was deflected or not. Riker Killens, the guy that shot it, got the goal for it. But, you just want the team to get results for the way that they're playing. And, because that's ultimately what they want to have is they want to have team success. But I can't complain about the way the team played really on either night. I can't complain. There's certain areas that you're disappointed in. You're disappointed in some of the penalties on Saturday night. Especially early when we were already depleted. Some of that stuff I think is individualistic. That's personnel. But I wasn't disappointed in the way that the effort that the guys gave.
Well, we'll take a listen to some of the highlights of the games, but can we clear a couple of things up? We won't be able to clear it up.
Well,
those of us who are close to the game on a regular basis, I take things for granted. I think that other people, the fans, understand the workings of rosters and bringing people in and when you're not allowed to bring people in. And I know we've got a couple of questions or at least one person who is totally dumbfounded on how we couldn't field the whole team on Saturday night. So here's the way it works, and you correct me if I'm wrong. When you're on the road, you have to bring a road roster. You're
right.
Only allowed 22 guys.
Right.
Once that is set and you're on the road, it's done.
Right.
Doesn't matter what happens.
No,
you get injury?
Right.
Okay. These people don't understand
and
that.
And we contacted the league and asked for an emergency. We could have gotten people down to play to fill out our roster because it gets to be, at what point is it danger? An emergency is an emergency.
Correct.
And when you don't have guys that can play, it's not, you're bringing your best players with you. You're not bringing your best players that can help give you a chance to win. So if they can't play, it's not like you're calling up somebody from, you made a trade and you're trying to add somebody to your roster to go into because they're going to make this big difference. It's for gamesmanship. It's for, fair competitive, competition. So, but the league said a 22-man roster is a 22-man roster and you can't add to it. We were depleted. And then we dressed a couple players that couldn't play.
Right.
We dressed a couple players that never saw a shift on the ice just in case we had a too many men on the ice call or we had this. I mean, they we were doing no detriment to them by being on the bench, but they couldn't play in the game. So, because they weren't clear to play. Brew didn't clear them to play and they weren't able to play. They physically weren't able to perform. So, we weren't disciplining anybody. We just didn't have the bodies to play.
Right. So, and I know people are listening out there trying to figure this whole thing. So, Brent Baltus was on the trip intended. It was a full idea that he was going to be playing all weekend long. after that 22-man roster was made, while you guys were on the trip, it was deemed that he was not able to play. So he was done for the weekend, correct?
Yeah, he didn't feel right after after the Thursday night skate.
Correct.
And Brew made the decision to pull him. So
okay, so Brent Baltus is out.
Unavailable.
I'm trying to make this easy for people. So then you have two extra guys on there. So Friday night we have enough to field the team.
Right.
You put in... Blacklock.
Yes.
Mason Blacklock is in. So we have the 20 guys on the ice. So Saturday night, not only do you not have Brent Baltus, but because Seamus Donahue took that wicked hit on Friday night, he was out. And Jackson ended up dressing, but he was not able to play. Misiak went out in the first game. Or the first period.
Early in the second game with a boarding.
So there's nobody else to put in. Todd Keelanen was already in. He was the...
Reinke was out.
Because
of a hit on Friday night. He wasn't able to dress. Yeah. He was out. Jake Jackson was dressed but could not perform. We were short three forwards and one D on Saturday night's game. They couldn't play. We dressed 5D. We dressed two extra forwards. We dressed one forward short, dressed two extra forwards. When Misiak went out, that brought us right down to nine because Jackson couldn't play. So we used the two players that were the extras that we brought and still ended up, when Misiak went down, we were four players total short.
So who else, so you're saying, Jackson and Misiak, we know in that Saturday night game, who else was?
I don't want to get into the names on the injuries. Yeah.
Just want to make sure. Okay. So anyway, I know there's a lot of people trying to figure out how we couldn't, when we had guys back home, well, you can't bring them in. You're not allowed to bring them in. That's the reason.
Yeah, and we may be traveling 20 this week, and we may be traveling 19 when we can travel 22 this weekend based on where we're at. And again, that gives us some direction, you know, after the game. You always are concerned about roster size, and that was part of the Saturday night deal too, because so many things would give us so much more as a staff. If we had, you know, we've talked about the push from guys not in the lineup and things like that. You don't want to carry too many players on your roster and have a whole bunch of guys sitting out because of the mood it creates around the locker room and things like that if they're not the right kids. And you don't want to be, you know, booting guys off a team during the year because of those types of things. But I think it's clear that we need to carry more bodies here so that for a couple of reasons. Number one, we have to need that competition to push for lineups because we've kind of in some ways been a little bit hostage of that this year, where we didn't have, you know, you can throw a guy in, but if he's not, we've talked about this before, if he's not outperforming even a player that you want to make a change on in practice and you don't feel he's going to make your team better, you know, what are you doing? Do you dress short, and send a complete message on what you're doing? So for that and for injury, you know, in for injury prevention, because, you know, I honestly think, I know I'm going to get in trouble for this, but we honestly considered and talked about and held out on partaking in this concussion protocol, this head protocol, this promotion that the league is doing, because it's in our feeling, it's strictly optics. It's like the WCHA is making this big stand, yet every single week I send in video because it's an NCAA mandate on head contact. And, you know, I think it's a complete mockery that a week ago against Fairbanks, you got a Hobie Baker candidate, Mitch Reinke, thrown out of a game for a check from behind where the player isn't even checked into the boards. He's thrown out of the game. And then we got guys just getting absolutely derailed on contact to the head. I mean, concussions, and we're sending the hits in every week. And one of the things I evaluate on when we do our referees evaluation every week is one of the questions, are they calling the points of emphasis? And one of the two points of emphasis on the year are face-off encroachment, which isn't being called, and contact to the head, which is not being called. So I give the referees and linesmen as poor of rating as you can give them on those two things. You know, and even this weekend, you know, my comments that go into the league are going to be, well, we still haven't figured out what contact to the head is. It's obviously not a pool of blood on the ice, multiple cuts to the face that require stitches, and being not cold. That's charging. It's not contact to the head. Yet we have a guy that's, you know, out, unavailable again for this week. You know, that guy should have to sit out as much until Seamus Donahue gets back in the lineup, in my opinion, that player should sit out for the viciousness of that hit. Just point blank for me. I mean, that's not just in the realm of the game. That was a targeted shoulder to the head that, it was charging. It was a lot of things. So the league has this thing that I believe it's this weekend in Bowling Green. They're promoting these optics of we're the proactive league on promoting, you know, head awareness in the game of hockey. And I totally think, in my opinion, it's absolutely a debacle. It's strictly for optics. It's strictly to get your name out there as a league. And there is absolutely no emphasis being put on that from our office to our head of officials down to our officials, because we are repeatedly sending in. It started back in Mankato when we had all those guys hit in the head. Mark Ock out with a concussion. Tommy Beretta receiving a concussion, in Mankato. And that's where, after we raised such a concern, said we weren't being involved in this protocol, this promotion, that they came out, the league came out with this referee's evaluation, that we're starting to do now every week on officials. Now we rate the officials. It's frustrating. I know, you know, back, I, you know, I'll tell you, be honest with, I'd like to go out there and, you know, personally like to show some of the refs, okay, this is what you're putting our players through. Mm-hmm. Because I think there's a bias. I don't know where it comes from. But I think our players in a lot of ways are being treated unfairly.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back. We'll look at some of the highlights from over the weekend at Ferris State, and we'll be getting your questions to Coach Sean a little bit later on in the hour. If you have a question for Coach Sean, email it to me, dj@themix93.com. It's the Joe Sean Hour, exclusively here on Mix 93.
In sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Remingen knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases. Games are won and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology, cutting edge. Experience, over 28 years. Results, game-changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
Tax time is here. Let the tax professionals at Lake County prepare and e-file your income tax return. The Affordable Care Act, identity theft, the Earned Income Credit and Education Credits are just a few of the reasons you need the services of the tax professionals at Lake County. Lake County will ensure that you receive all of the credits and deductions that you are entitled to. Lake County is ready to relieve the stress related to tax preparation. Call 482-2370. That's 482-2370. Lake County, located 1 mile west of the Copper Country Mall, Houghton.
The deals keep getting better and better in 2018 at your party headquarters of the Copper Country, Bucko's Party Store in Calumet. All 12-ounce six-packs of beer are on sale all month. Bucko's is your beef jerky, energy drink, Powerade, and Gatorade headquarters of the North, featuring several great deals. Check out their amazing deals on Red Baron and DiGiorno Pizza for those cold Copper Country nights. All sales do not include taxes and deposit at Bucko's, where the party starts in Calumet.
I like my burger with mustard.
No, mustard and ketchup.
And a Coke.
Got to be well done.
Only medium rare, come on.
I only want grass-fed beef.
No, Angus.
On the grill.
Now, flat top.
You want a homemade veggie burger?
With a Coca-Cola.
Iceberg lettuce.
No way.
Avocado, dude.
Arugula.
Nah, jalapeno.
Can I have a turkey burger?
But turkeys are for Thanksgiving, man.
Burger with a Coke.
Brioche.
No.
Sesame seed.
Just a regular bun.
American cheese. Nah, man, you gotta go with Swiss.
No, cheddar.
Gotta use both hands.
No, one hand.
And wash it down with a Coke.
My burger is best with a Coke.
Every burger needs a Coke.
Coke and a burger.
An ice cold Coke.
I'll agree to that.
A burger and a Coke.
It doesn't take a step-by-step recipe or even a plan to make a delicious meal. It doesn't take a freshly starched apron or an official foodie degree from social media. It just takes an ice-cold Coke, delicious food, and good friends. So whip up a meal, however you like. Grab some ice-cold Coke from your local supermarket and taste the feeling today.
Welcome back to the Joe Sean Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Friday night, the Ferris State Bulldogs got on the board early in the game, as they were able to capitalize on a turnover.
Norris able to work it up the center ice. Michigan Tech will get back, stops that rush, and the Huskies will try to bounce it outside. Here's a turnover. Rutkowski with a shot. Scores!
Oh, a turnover by the Huskies at the line. And then bang, a shot went in, passed over the shoulder of Packy Munson. And the Huskies are down 1-0. Recktenwald gets the goal on that, Coach. And, you know, it was a turnover, I guess. But after I watched the replay, I see that it banged. It was banged out of the zone and kind of bounced off of somebody back in the zone, it looked like to me. Or banged to the line, I guess, and not so much us having the puck and turning the puck over. Am I right on that?
Yeah, you're right. It's,
I called it a turnover in the call.
We have to be better on that, situation as far as our awareness. And again, that was on Saturday. Part of what I felt resolved about is that we're getting with this weekend, I felt that it came to the forefront on some players on where they need to be within our lineup, good or bad, win or lose, where they need to be within our lineup for us to, you know, we need to have better coverage on that. And we didn't have the coverage that we needed, and it's consistent. So, you know, those types of things help clarification for us.
We tied the game up though on Grayson Reitmeier's goal in the first period.
Giving up a goal early in this first period of play. Dirk Kemper off along with Dave Ellis here from Big Rapids. Here's an opportunity. A shot. Big rebound there. Nisiak shot and a score there for Reitmeier. Put in the rebound. Nisiak will get an assist. Stamen probably will too. And the Huskies have tied it up 1-1.
Nice goal there by Nisiak, Reitmeier, and Meek got the assist. But it was Dylan Stamen doing a great job again, the wall again.
Yeah, once again, that line right there, you know, we're extremely pleased with the development of Misiak and Reitmeier. Stamen has brought them along well as a good leader, as a good veteran. It does. He's helped them. He's trained them. He's worked with them. That line has just gotten better and better and better with the growth of those players. Reitmeier is looking like he can be a pro. He's got big, rangy size. He's extremely attentive to all aspects. Right from day one, he's been attentive to his defensive responsibilities. And Misiak as well. And that was a buzz play. It was guys in and out of hard ice. It was three rebounds on that play where Reitmeier was there and darted into an open area and bullied his way in and popped a puck in the back door. So, three guys that need to be elevated, they play it the way that we want it played. They're examples of the way we want it played and guys that need growth. I thought that losing Misiak Saturday was as big a loss as we've had. When he was in there for about the first 8 minutes or so, we were dominating the game. We were doing some line juggling. We were trying some combinations. We were doing some things. It was an opportunity to experiment a little bit. And we were seeing a lot out of him. That was a huge loss when we lost him Saturday night, but that was a great goal on a total domination shift by that line on Friday.
So that made it 1-1 on Friday night. Then two power play goals for the Bulldogs, one of them a 5-on-3, the other one a 5-on-4, as Ranky and Jackson went off for slashing calls, and here they were to make it a 3-1 game.
Got it to Rutkowski over, here's a shot scored! Oh, what a shot taken by Killens! Top shelf over Patrick Munson's shoulder, and it's a 2-1 score, and the first penalty had not expired. It still will be a power play for Ferris State. 5-on-4 advantage for the Ferris State Bulldogs. 5-on-3 power play goal. Stretch pass up across. Norris is in, scores! Two power play goals in a matter of a couple of seconds, and the Huskies are down by two just like that.
Riker Killens, that was his first out of two goals. He gets one later on in the game, too, actually the game winner on the power play. But that second one coming down, it didn't seem like, it looked like that was shot from about the left dot coming in on.
Yeah, it was outside that. Yeah, okay. It was outside that. It was a shot that we'd like to have. And the interesting thing, exact same goal that the same player scored here. Same shot, same spot, same location, same everything. That he got here. He was able to get a quick pass, stretch pass, got in behind Ranky. Ranky was able to recover and keep him to the outside, but those are two quick goals. So we were able to get him back, and capitalize on some power plays of our own, but two big goals for Ferris.
Boy, did we ever capitalize too.
Well, hold on to it, then sends it down low for Reitmeier and Lesbros to go in after it. Smith trying to play it around, stolen away by the Huskies. Here's a pass for Gould, a shot, scores! Gavin Gould with the goal, a power play tally for the Huskies, and they're back in this game 3-2. Here is Ox. Slides it over for Burks. Back down low for Stamen. Stamen looking back up top for Burks. Over for Mark Ock in the middle. Back down low. Here's a pass for Beretta! And he scores! Oh, what a play by Michigan Tech! A one-time pass to a one-time shot, and we get a tie hockey game.
And those guys, you guys drew that one up pretty nice in practice, and it's nice to see that come to fruition in a game like that.
Yeah, well, that's a play that we'd been working on and trying to make it happen, and actually Stamen set that up pretty well prior to that in the power play to create that opening for ourselves and draw the rotation that we were looking for. Our power play's been coming around. We're starting to get guys. We're still going to tweak it a little bit to some personnel things, that we're going to start working on today. And, but I like the movement on that. I like how we're starting to get the puck in the zone. We're starting to, get some consistency from two units. Now it's going to depend on our bodies, on our healthy bodies, because we're getting guys where they want. They're getting an understanding of it. Some guys are elevating their roles. We got to get Reitmeier involved in it for sure. He's grown into being a guy that we think can help us in some situations. We need to, do some things, tweak some things also with Joel Esperance. Joel Esperance is starting to play, not starting. Joel Esperance has been tremendous for us this year. Joel Esperance could be a 35 point guy, 40 point guy this year. On the opportunity that he's had, the chances, and by opportunity, I don't mean the opportunity we've given him. He's played good hockey. He's made a concerted effort to be good on the defensive side of the puck. His minus in both, minus and scoring chances against where he's involved are drastically down from the past years. He has done everything we've asked. He's created tremendous scoring opportunities. He leads us usually most games in scoring chances, hits, you know, every indicator that we want out of him. He's played great hockey for us. People say, what's wrong with Joel Esperance? Joel Esperance has been tremendous. The biggest thing is he hasn't been able to put the puck in the net, and guys with him that have had great scoring opportunities haven't been able to put the puck in the net. So, but we still want to get him more involved and utilize his gifts and what he has to offer us on the power play and get him a little bit more involved. And I think that will be the final tweak for us.
The Bulldogs score the game winner at the 18:56 mark of the second period. Riker Killens gets the goal. Callen and Finner get the assists on that. And we weren't able to get the equalizer in the third period, Coach. 16-5. Were the shots in favor of Michigan Tech in that third period, and we just could not find a way to get the back of the net.
Yeah, again, our guys are giving everything they have. For me to focus with our team on the results, I think would do a disservice to our team. How much pressure can you apply before there's a buckle and a pushback? The growth has been continuous. The domination of play in many times has been continuous. With everybody in the league, we're competitive with every single team in this league, and in most instances, outplay the opposition and, in every indicator that you can outplay a team in. So, it's a growth situation for us. It's a maturity situation for us. I think that we've done a good job. Our players have done a good job in upping our goals for. We had a depth problem in goal scoring. A lot of work was put into it. Now, for the most part, we're getting our 3 and 4 goals a night, although obviously we didn't Saturday. But we're getting our 3 and 4 goals a night. Our biggest concern, and we're not giving up a ton, is keeping pucks out of our net. And, I thought we made some good adjustments on Saturday night, even with the depleted lineup, to neutralize Riker Killens, who killed us on Friday. We got caught. We got victimized on Saturday, and we'll talk about that in a few seconds. But our penalty kill was actually very good in that game. The chances we gave up weren't excessive. They scored a power play goal, but that was a victim of circumstance, in my opinion.
Well, let's go to Saturday night's game, and we'll just look at a couple here, Coach. But they score the power play goal. Corey Mackin gets the goal at the, again, no scoring in the first period. We outshoot them 8-6 in period number one. And then we have guys go down. Obviously, Misiak is out of the game by this time now, and we go in the second period. And 5:13 the time of the goal. Corey Mackin from Maloney and Hertz. And then they get the even strength goal to 9:52 mark from Norris and Riker Killens. But the one that I thought was the backbreaker is, you know, we're doing a pretty good job on the power play, getting some pretty good chances, and then Finner is able to go back and get that breakaway goal late in the second period.
Meek waiting, sauces it over for Ock. In front for Lucchini. Poked away from him, and back the other way, a breakaway coming down is Finner. Finner on Munson. Shoots! Scores! Munson thought he had it. It just hopped over his glove. Short-handed goal for the Bulldogs with 1:02 remaining in the second period.
So that was late in the second period. We go into the intermission down 3-0, and I just thought that going from a two-goal into the third to a three-goal into the third made a huge difference, obviously, in the third period.
Yeah, and we'll go back to the first goal. The first goal was the power play goal against.
Right.
What happened on that is we have, first of all, we've got Baltus, Jackson, and Misiak, three penalty killers out. They're unavailable to us. So we have those three guys out. Now we have Lucchini in the box, and we have Bryce in the box, which are two of our four penalty killers. So now we got five of our top penalty killers out. Then you got Stamer and Reitmeier, who started that penalty kill. And then we put out Blacklock and another, I can't recall who the other one was, but so we got our seven, Stamer and Reitmeier out there. They give us about 25 seconds or so. There's a face off. We put two new penalties. So now we're on number 8 and 9 on our depth of what we had available to us on the penalty kill. And in fairness to those guys, they're 8 and 9 on our depth in penalty killing. We go right back with, we give the quick face-off play and a shot on goal. We go right back with Stamen and Reitmeier right away. And then during the play, they come off. You know, they give us 30, 35 seconds, 40 seconds, and they come off. So we're back to number 8 and 9 that are on the ice and got caught in a rotation, by players that don't have a normal opportunity to kill, nor, you know, you never get that deep in your penalty kill rotation. So we got victimized by our numbers on that for sure. On that goal against, that was the one that got us. Other than that, we controlled them on the penalty kill when we were able to stay with the guys that we had, that we had in the lineup that have had significant time. So I thought our adjustments on that were good. And again, Killens wasn't, you know, we were able to neutralize him, which was a big deal. The backbreaker, as you said, was the turnover by Luch on the power play. And again, with that, that isn't Lucha's spot normally on the power play. He's in there making that play and got picked. You know, he got the pass. Everything was set up well. We were moving the puck well, and a player just turned in and lifted his stick and took it and flipped it out to the neutral zone, and they beat us up into the neutral zone for a breakaway. So, you know, again, personnel in areas where we don't want personnel. We want a guy stronger on the puck there, in that position. But Baltus was out, who's normally in that position. We've had Ock in that position. We have several guys that we got caught on that. And the second goal was just it was a 3-on-3 line rush. And again, that was where you're getting a feel for who you can use when, where. We absolutely didn't pick up a guy for a rebound going to the net. We had, everybody was picked up, and we didn't switch off on a cover, and they were able to put that one in the net. So, a lot of that was personnel. But again, in that game of the, we saw what we wanted to see as far as our growth in our program. I thought it was important moving ahead. I think the guys gave every effort they had in that game. There were a lot of guys. We had Anderson and Blacklock who I'm watching them come to the bench, and we're going three lines, and they're coming to the bench and they can hardly breathe by the time the third period started, because they don't have, the game legs. And you know, that's something for them on their preparation as well, to do the best they can to be prepared to have more stamina to be able to get in those situations. You have to be prepared for everything all the time.
Husky shut the door after that late second period shorthanded goal by Finner, but only able to get one towards the end of the game.
And Smith will take it now. Alex Smith looking up ice for Michigan Tech, and will send it over for Gould. Gould able to move it across on the given goal. Here's Smith walking in. A shot, save, rebound, and they score! It went off the defenseman and in. Smith is going to get credit for the goal, I believe. And the Huskies are not out of this yet.
3-1 with 6:51 remaining.
Nice give and go with Gavin Gould and Alex Smith on that play.
Yeah, it was a good play. It got us, and again, and then we got life, and then our guys got some adrenaline, and we got life, and played some pretty good hockey. It was a lot of 4-on-4 in the third period. Referees were having fun in that hockey game, and so it was a lot of 4-on-4. Again, a good chance to see a lot of players play, which was important. This game, through the second period was the first time this year, the first time, including the two Mankato games where they were tied with 5 minutes left, where I felt that we were outplayed, we were on the ice with a better hockey team. Not that they were better, but just because of the physical wear and tear and things on our guys, the personnel we had in, the personnel we had out. But with that said, I give our group a ton of respect and a ton of credit for the focus that they had in the third period, for what they showed, for giving, you know, for showing relentlessness, for showing commitment. There is a very quiet bus ride home. No one was happy with what happened. There were no movies. There were no, you know, and that wasn't by my design, by anything. It was just it was a very somber, tired bus ride. A lot of guys with ice bags on. A lot of guys just, you know, with injuries. But I think we grew as a group. It clarified our direction, I think, to some degree.
All right, final score 3-1. Michigan Tech falling to Ferris State. Huskies outshoot the Bulldogs 27-24. 0 for 5 on the power play for Michigan Tech. 1 for 3 for Ferris State. And the Huskies had 28 faceoff wins to 32 for Ferris State on Saturday night. All right, a lot of questions. We'll get to those questions in just a moment. It's part of the Joe Schon Hour here on Mix 93.
You can always count on the crisp, refreshing taste of Bud Light. Just like you can always count on reliable Ralph. Ask him to move that couch he moved for you last summer. Ralph will do it. Need a ride from the dentist? Better call Ralph. And he won't even film you after the laughing gas and put you online and get millions of views. He's reliable Ralph, for Pete's sake. Reliable Ralph is famous among friends. He deserves a Bud Light. Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Beer. AB St. Louis, Missouri.
Not everyone has $1 million, but everyone can have $1 million smile. The smile that lights up a room, instantly puts people at ease. The smile that gives you the confidence to be you. Your smile is uniquely yours. Treasure it. Protect it. Superior Smiles, gentle quality dentistry for the entire family. With pediatric dentist Sarah Metlack, Doctors Fisher, Sarazen, Strong, and Sliss. Superior Smiles Family Dentistry in Hancock. And now in Lorium on 77 3rd Street. Call today for your appointment. 482-3621 Hancock. 337-5049 Lorium.
Whether our Huskies are on the turf, the ice, or the hardwood, show your Michigan Tech home team pride by sporting Husky apparel from University Images, the campus store, or online at bookstore.mtu.edu. If souvenirs are your game, we've got you covered there too. We're sure you'll find exactly what you're looking for when you visit us in person or online. Check our campus store and University Images social media feeds for our latest store news, promotions, and operating hours. Your support goes directly back to the local and campus communities. And always, we thank you for your patronage.
Steph from the Wickley Agency. From the moment she was born, I promised to love her, to protect her from all of the monsters under her bed, and to support her and all of her dreams. From the moment she was born, I promised that I would always provide for her, no matter what. That's why I bought life insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, to secure her future, no matter what. Do you have the life insurance your family needs? Give us a call at 482-1140 or stop by the Wickley Agency in Hancock.
Enjoy all-you-can-eat specials at Joey's Seafood and Grill in downtown Houghton. Tuesdays, all-you-can-eat Joey's Original Fish and Chips. Wednesdays, all-you-can-eat Chicken and Popcorn Shrimp. Thursdays, all-you-can-eat Shrimp. Plus, Joey's has seafood and soups any day, salads, tacos, chicken, ribs, steaks, burgers, and many gluten-free menu options as well. Stop in for a quick lunch or dinner paired with your favorite beer, wine, or cocktail. We hope to see you soon. It's our pleasure to serve you at Joey's Seafood and Grill.
All right, welcome back to the Joe Schon Hour here on Mix 93. We are talking to head coach Joe Schon, and let's get to some of our questions. All right, so here's the first question for Coach Schon. I apologize. Okay, we already, this one we already cleared up, was asking how you exactly end up not being able to dress 18 skaters on Saturday, and talking about the healthy Huskies that are, were home. We addressed that earlier in the show in case you missed it. You have a 22-man roster, and once on the road, once that is set, there is no going back from that, correct, Coach?
That's right, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, next question for Coach Sean is, it's no secret that the WCHA officiating has been inconsistent from game to game, and at times, period to period. Do you know if the league is working to clean up the officiating going into the next year so the calls are more consistent from game to game?
I know they're not. I know that they're not working on it. There's, you know, there's a lot of excuses of why the officiating's, why it is, the way it is, but there's no emphasis on, we'll leave it at that. There's not, but I don't, the biggest thing I think our league needs to take care of that. And every coach within our league feels that way. There's, you know, you look right now, I think we have the top four penalty, every year we have six teams or so in the top 10 in the country. But yet when we play out of conference, the games are one power play, two power plays. And when we're out of conference, for the most part, either they're sending the league, our league is sending who they feel are the best officials that call, you know, call a different game, or you're playing like us when we play in the GLI, we play in Arizona, we're playing with official, and it's completely different. The only call that we had, that we didn't care for, that I really recall in those four games was the disallowed goal. And that was multiple, it had nothing, you know, it was a big call, but, it's just different officiating. I also do feel, and I don't know where it is, and I don't know where it stems from, and I've questioned it. I used to think it was that Mel was so hard on the refs. Now, obviously, I came in 3 years after Mel was here. There is a thing with Michigan Tech. I don't know if it's a Minnesota, non-Minnesota deal. I know that there's other teams that feel the same way that aren't. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's that Michigan Tech was an outlier in the old WCHA, or they didn't want him in the league because it was, you know, it was the farthest trip for all these. I don't know what the deal is. But now that Mel is gone, it's not Mel. It's just, it's the craziest, most frustrating part of what I've dealt with, to the point where before our head of officials came out to me before in a tournament game and said, "Joey, I don't want our referees to have to handle Mel. Keep Mel under control so they don't determine the outcome of the game." He asked me to control Mel so that the referees didn't have a bias developed during the game. Keep Mel calm. And so, I mean, those types of things, they get in your head a little bit. Well, Mel's not there anymore, and we're not screaming at refs. You know what I mean? We're sending in weekly reviews, and it's like it's the officiating is poor. And in reality, I don't think it's poor both ways. I think there's a definite bias, in my opinion.
Next question, Coach. With the four power play goals being scored against us this past weekend, the penalty kill is one of the weak links for the team as we head to Bowling Green. With that in mind, and the short turnaround for the road again, is there a quick fix that can be implemented with the team, or will the main focus just to be to avoid penalties altogether?
We just talked about we aren't going to be able to avoid penalties. We're going to get, I mean, you went over Friday's penalties with me. The penalty that gave him the 5-on-3 on Jackson is ridiculous. The penalty on L'Esperance for holding is absolutely ridiculous. And you know what? There's a tremendous argument for the penalty that gave him the winning goal on Ock. Guy slides a puck through Ock's feet. The puck is barely behind Mark Ock. He finishes his bump on the guy and they call interference. I mean, your comment to me was that was the worst of all of them. So, you know, maybe I shouldn't have said that on the air, but, you know, we're going to get penalties. Now, with that said, which is a Mel comment, or that being said or whatever, there's a couple things that, first of all, zone entry gives you an opportunity to get forced loose pucks, not allowing them to set up, forcing dump ins, which are 50-50 pucks that you can go back and get at. We've gotten better at that. The next phase of it is the aggressiveness on the loose pucks and the forcing ability and blocking shots, which to me is a crazy thing. We've really only had two great shot blockers at forward, which were Neville and Sturrows, it's crazy to me how guys can look like they're trying to block a shot and that shot gets through. When you're virtually right out on top of them. Now, I'm a goaltender that knows that if I can even get out on the top of the paint, you know, the shots are going to hit me. If I can get on anything farther than that from anywhere outside the home base, you know, the chance of that puck getting through, especially as a forward, you're getting down and trying to get big. Those pucks shouldn't get through. So you have to have a willingness to block shots. And then your biggest penalty killer is your goaltender. I mean, you need the saves on it. So you have to be aggressive. You have to shot blocks. You have to hunt loose pucks so you can clear them. And you have to get saves on the goaltender. Now, on Saturday, what we started doing is isolating and preventing shots from certain areas and giving shots in other areas. And that helped our penalty kill in being able to do that. What we basically did is took the shot blocking out of it, gave the worst angle possible that we could give. But they were closer shots, but from the worst angle, because a good angle is getting through both our goaltenders and our shot blockers. So we're trying to do the best we can with the personnel we have, and that kind of lays out how we're trying to accomplish it.
Quick question here for you, Coach. If you recall from a past show, Clarkson was on the schedule for next year. Has a weekend been selected for that series yet? And the reason they're asking is a group of Husky alumni are wanting to plan a trip out east.
Yeah, it's November. I don't even know if I'm allowed to supposed to. We're going there like deer season, November 15th, something like that. I do have it if someone wants to email me or whatever. And then they're coming back here the following year in December. I think it's December 14th, 15th. So they're doing a one-for-one with us. Casey and I are good friends, and we're able to work that out. And they're one of the top teams in the country. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be great to have them in our building. It's going to be great to go out there and play them.
Goaltending question here, Coach. The hockey world understands that coaches feel the need for their recruits to succeed, but should that come before the team's ability to win games? During break, you told everyone that you needed a goalie to step up and run with it. After break, your non-recruit goalie won two straight games and got a tech sweep. The next weekend, you started your recruited goalie and got swept. Shouldn't the team come first?
Yeah, it should. I get what they're after. The implication there is that Devin is not playing because he's not my recruit. What I'll say is this. I've been with Devin now for 4 years. Devin is more, I have more of a relationship with Devin than I have with any of the other two goaltenders. They both have a half a year in here with us. I appreciate the question. It's a good question. I don't take it personally, but we're putting the guy in there that gives us that I feel has the best chance of winning, and we're doing that as a staff. I have my feelings. I listen to the staff on it. I have my feelings. Now, if we look at the goals that are going in and just look at this weekend at the goals they scored, that Ferris State scored, they scored on those shots, those same shots. We knew we know how they play. We know their strengths. They scored on those shots from outside for the most part, from out in front. For the most part, especially on Friday night, all four goals were from outside home base. If you look at the goals that Devin has let in this year and throughout his career, those are primarily the shots that go in. You look at the shot for the point from Boston College that went in. You look at the shot for the point a week before from Fairbanks in the third period that tied the game, you know, a shot from those long shots from the point. If you look at Arizona State, the two goals that went in and the shot from the point that went five hole, those are the ones that he struggles with. He's the most athletic and acrobatic goaltender that we have. On the movement type step where a goaltender has to move and make a save moving, he's the best that we have of the three. It wasn't going to be that type of a weekend. It didn't turn out to be that type of a weekend. They didn't have any bing bang pass across shot and goals that we needed, that guy that can cover side to side. We needed who we thought gave us the best shot stopping ability. Packy is the best of the three shot stopper. Now he didn't stop the shots, but now on Saturday, after a little challenge to our goaltenders, he did stop the shots. The goaltending is a number for me. And I don't care. And I was a goaltender, and I've shared this with the team. I have no problem saying the best thing for Lake Superior that got Lake Superior the first national championship was myself and Randy Exelby graduating. That was the best thing because they brought in Bruce Hoffer. We were able to get us to be one of the top three in the league. We were able to get us into a national tournament. We weren't good enough. I got more pleasure out of watching Bruce Hoffer play for those 2 years before he signed a $2.7 million contract than I got out of more enjoyment than I would have gotten out of playing because he was that good. I wasn't able to, he took my number and the next year as a freshman he was an All-American, two-time All-American. He was the MVP of the national tournament, won the national tournament as a freshman. The best thing for Laker hockey was myself and the other senior goaltender graduating. I mean, I have no problem saying that. It is a number in goaltending. I don't care if they're breakaways. I don't care if they're two-on-ones. I don't care if they're three-on-ohs. I don't care what they are. There's a number. It's 1 in 6.5, 1 in 7, 1 in 6 you're okay with. Packy was about 1 in 5.5 on Saturday night, which we can live with. The 1 in 2 and 3 scoring chances against, you know, when you're giving up 8 scoring chances against and giving up 3 goals or even 2 goals, it's too much. The other teams aren't giving that up. And you could say they're good goals. You could say a lot of things, but the chances we're getting are better than the chances we're giving up. They are. There's more quantity and there's more quality on the chances. So, it is, our goaltenders are working extremely hard. They're doing the best they can. They're all great individuals. They're like me. They're doing the best they can when I played. But it is just a number. It's nothing personal. It's nothing. And it's not who's recruiting who or who's doing what. It's who gives us the best chance. And I think I have a pretty good feel in that position. This is the first time. I mean, last year I was a genius when we went and got a freshman goaltender, you know, devised the defensive schemes and got a freshman goaltender to get signed. This year it was going to be no, I mean, I don't know if the difference, the second half of last year was, you know, Angus wasn't great. You know, he had a lot of goals from, you know, goaltending's goaltending. You know, it's what it is. You need a stopper. We have to actively and aggressively recruit a goaltender. To get us over the, you know, guess we didn't want to invest money next year in a goaltender. We wanted to do it in other areas, but we're going to have to invest money in a goaltender because we need to shore up that position. It's just a number. We have to bring in Bruce Hoffert. We have to get that competition in there and get it to that number. Because if you look at Ferris this weekend, look at the breakaways we had. Look at the 2-on-0s we had. We had two great guys. It's 3-1. We make it 3-1 and we had two. Joe Lesperance and Reitmeier walked in on all alone on goal within the next minute. It could have been a 3-2 game now with 4 minutes left in the game and we come out of nowhere with a depleted lineup, but they get the save. It's not a knock on our goaltending. I love our guys. They're working extremely hard. We're looking for one of them to step up and give us that consistent, you know, their guy had 25 scoring chances Friday night and let in 3. That's 1 in almost 8. That's 1 in 8. 3, you know, 1 in 8. That meets that number. He let in 1 in 16 on Saturday. That meets that number. They got the goaltending that got them a win. We should have won 3-1 Friday. We gave up 9 scoring chances against. We gave up 4 goals. You know, there's 5 games this year, 6 games now that we, you know, that have been so lopsided in scoring chances, we should have won. What would our record be with 6 wins versus losses? Mm-hmm. It'd be, you know, we'd be sitting back and feeling like we were, you know, I'd be up for coach of the year. So it's just a number. It's nothing personal. This is the same talk I have with the goaltenders. It's the same talk that Jamie Phillips had when I came in. Jamie Phillips was, well, coach, they're good goals that are going in. Jamie, it's just a number, son. You know, I love you. We're doing everything we can. It's just a number. Get it within that number. Give our guys a chance to win. That's your job. That's what you're going to be paid to do when you get the opportunity to play professionally. And when you don't have that, they're not going to spend time working with you. They're going to ship you. And they're going to bring in a guy that can get them that number. It's the position. It's a ruthless, hard position. But you should have, if you can't handle that, you should be a forward because they're the farthest away. They can make the most mistakes without the puck ending up in your net.
Well said, Coach. We'll take a break. Be back with more right after this.
In sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Remingen knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases. Games are won and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology, cutting edge. Experience, over 28 years. Results, game-changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
Are you frustrated with the rising cost of insurance? Are you concerned you might not have the right coverage? Hi, I'm Megan Kangas of the Turvo Agency in Hancock. Whether you are single, married, have a house full of kids, are retired and aging gracefully, whatever your situation, we can help you put together an insurance package that both fits your budget and provides the insurance protection you need and deserve. As an independent agency that represents many insurance companies, the Turvo Agency offers more choices, more options, more security, and more peace of mind. Stop in or give us a call at 482-0080.
Keweenaw Automotive, across from Walmart in Houghton, is the one-stop shop for all of your automotive needs. From their impressive lineup of pre-owned vehicles, state-of-the-art service facility, and the lowest tire prices you'll find anywhere, Keweenaw Automotive has you covered. A locally owned, family-owned business for over 31 years. You're sure to get the service you deserve from the good folks at Keweenaw Automotive. Follow their Facebook page for new inventory, tire specials, and other exciting giveaway promotions. You can also find them online at KeweenawAutomotive.com or by phone at 482-7988.
The Kaleva Cafe, Quincy Street in Hancock, has been serving great food for generations 7 days a week with homestyle service and huge portions. They have a tasty menu for everyone with all homemade food, including pasties, soups, hot and cold sandwiches, Italian cuisine, pizza, breakfast served all day, and the best coffee around. Enjoy a Sunday turkey dinner with all the fixings for only $9.95, as well as daily lunch and dinner specials. Hours at the Kaleva Cafe, 7 till 9, Monday through Saturday, and Sundays, 8 till 9.
All right, great questions here. We don't have a lot of time, but let's get to a couple more here. Coach, when playing with a limited bench on defense, do you try to match defensemen with the opposing team?
It's very difficult to do when you're rotating five, and especially when special teams get so involved. It's hard to do. We certainly do when we have six players. With five, you'll do it to the best you can, and you'll do it on face-off situations. But other than that, it's a fatigue factor, and a lot of times you're asking them to give you input whether they can go or not. You know, like a certain guy like a Dane Burks who can log it. You know what I mean? And he's been playing so well for us. Hey Burksy, when you can't go, you let us know because you are trying to get him out against the best players.
What about with the injuries, Coach? The next question is, do we have the personnel coming in to, so from what I hear, this is the listener. So what I hear you saying, we are most likely not going to be successful this weekend and so on. Do we have the personnel coming in to next year to get back on track?
No, I'm not saying we're not going to be successful. I'm saying that I love the character and the work ethic of our team. I love this hockey. This hockey team is tremendous. What I'm saying is we're getting a lot out of every indicator that we're doing besides being able to put the puck in the net, which is a God-given talent, and keep the puck out of the net, which is in some cases a God-given talent, but because we're not allowing a lot of opportunities against. We're just not doing, everybody in the country knows it. You know, every coach that I talk to knows what's going on with our hockey team. There's no secrets out there in college hockey. We have a chance. If we can get step up goaltending, if we can get someone if it's someone just say, yeah, this is on me. If they can't score, they can't win. And if a goaltender can back that up with performance and give us a chance to give us a 25 scoring chance effort, if we get outplayed, we'll get our two or three goals. We have a chance to win, and we're gonna, you know, all day, trust me, all day for starting on the bus when I had Mikey put the video on my bus on the way home. We're coming up with a way to have success against Bowling Green with whatever lineup we're gonna have in there. We're going there to have success. I'm proud of the success that we had out shooting Ferris State with that depleted lineup in their barn, in that rink. Coming back in the third period, getting them to some degree on the ropes, playing the last 2 minutes without a goaltender and not giving up a goal and getting a couple scoring chances. We're going there with the intent of coming back here with points. We're not saying. So now to the second part of that question, is, Yes, we are going to try to increase our depth next year with the money we have available. Yes, we are going to adjust some money, some scholarships and things like that to allow ourselves to get some more depth, some more quality depth, because we're going to have opportunity here for people to compete and take spots. Yes, we are going to try to make sure that our lineup throughout is deeper, with more bodies that can play, much like it was my first year here when we had 6 and 7 guys sitting out, and we've gotten away from that. 6 and 7 guys sitting out, and those guys such as Max Vallis, Patrick Anderson, those guys could step in and play and did and performed for us.
Well said, Coach. Thanks for all your questions, and I think we answered everybody, even though we didn't specifically. I think a lot of the stuff was answered early in the show. That is it for the Joe Schott Hour. Don't forget Michigan Tech Hockey at Bowling Green. We don't need to say much about that. Huskies need some wins against a very good Bowling Green team. Saturday night, Friday night, 7:37, 7 o'clock pregame. Saturday night, a half hour prior to that, and we'll have the broadcast for you right here on Mix 93 WKMJ.